Well, that's what I said a minute ago. There is a battle for control of the supreme AI. Who's going to produce it? Is it going to get dominance over other AIs? We know that Russia, China, India, America are all fighting to produce the best, top, most, super fast, dominant AI. Well, dominant, why? This is the question that has to be asked. Why do we need global dominance by an AI? Why isn't humanity allowed to be humanity and chart out its own course and establish its own goals and development? The programmers who are developing many of these websites, games, and interactive things, it's planned to confuse pleasure with happiness so that they sell us pleasure and try to tell us it's made us happy.
Hi, this is Bruce Lipton, and you're listening to Planet FM.
Kia ora, greetings, and welcome to Planet FM 104.6. I'm Tim Lynch, and I trust that you are doing well. I invite you to stay with me over the next hour as we discuss and find ways to take care of our unique and magnificent green planet Earth. On the phone from Waikato today, I have Roy Harlow, the owner-manager of the most alternative radio station in New Zealand. And today we're going to talk about artificial intelligence. Computerization age, there has been much speculation as to where this technology will take us. And we also have heard from people like Stephen Hawking of Cambridge, theoretical physicist, Elon Musk of SpaceX and Tesla, and Steve Wozniak, who produced the first Apple computer. These three men have specifically stated that artificial intelligence, particularly in the form of robotics, in the future is going to create havoc for the human race. So with that horrible announcement, kia ora, Roy.
Hi, Tim. Thank you for having me on today.
Roy, there's a lot of story going around. There's the pros and the cons. And you've done a major study on it over the years. And I'd like to hear your version, please.
Well, AI, artificial intelligence, is generally considered to be an equivalent to human, that they have the thinking capacity and speed to more or less replace a man in practical applications. And actually, that's been going on a long time. We have that in many of the unseen aspects of computerization. That behind it is an artificial intelligence running algorithms, running the volume of calls, of clicks, etc., that we experience on a regular basis. So now we're at the situation where so much networking is going on that it's moved out of one artificial intelligence for these applications into an artificial intelligence for all of these applications. And these are called ASI, artificial superintelligence. And there's also the linking them together, which is called the supergrid. And it's leading to a situation where the intelligence over the level of human is what they're expecting artificial intelligence to develop.
Yes.
Now, the point that is of significance in my research, from my perspective, is that the artificial intelligence is supposed to be a thinking system. And so the issue becomes, does the artificial intelligence have the same goals as the human intelligence? And this is where the difficulty comes in. If you and I have different goals, for us to cooperate becomes more difficult. If we share a common goal, it becomes simplified. While the computers were just that, computers, there was a commonality. But when we give them independent, artificial independent thinking capacity and growing capacity, they can develop different goals. And this is the root of the deviation that everybody's worrying about. That if they establish themselves to having different goals than humanity, then they're going to act conversely to the objectives or the benefit of humanity. And this is where the fear comes from.
Yes, well, again, everything's developing at the moment. We don't really know where it's going. I mean, we've had all sorts of experiments in the past that have gone awry, all the way from the development of the atomic bomb, that doesn't foresee us having a future if we don't now disarm. We have thalidomide, and we have also all sorts of situations where we thought things were going to work out well, but haven't. So could you take this further, please?
The issues are pretty basic in that humans want an advanced society. Now, advanced society generally means advances in health, advances in transportation, money control, military power, reproductive, the objective to become immortal. These are some of the things that humanity is concerned about. But if you look at it from an artificial intelligence point of view, they might be concerned with development of infrastructure, but are they concerned with health? No. What about their concern for reproduction? No. Because even if they do a spin-off subsystem, it's still integrated into one intelligence. So their objective is not going to include some of the things we hold dear, even from the point of view of religion. We understand there's an esoteric relationship with the Supreme Personality, the cosmic creator. But they don't have that concept. They know that they are a machine, and they know that their creators were humans. And they look down upon them because they are thinking faster, they have more capacity, they have different goals. And they aren't concerned with seeing any of us become divine people, become humanitarians, become compassionate beings, become major contributors to the human experience. They aren't concerned with those, but those particular things is what really defines our humanity. So the possibility of them using their transportation capabilities, control over money, military power, internet control, they can use that to dominate us to such a degree that we don't get time to develop our subtle side, our human side, that makes us divine. So it's a checkmate concept, because if you're busy with no money, you don't stop and think about being kind and benevolent. If you have military power at your door, you're not going to live in peace. And if you don't have money, if you don't have transportation, they can override your car, you can't go there, or turn it off, you didn't pay some fee. These things are going to limit your capacity to enact the human experience. So there's not much left that they need to have control over before they can literally put the impact us by putting these systems in place predominantly. Right now, it's shared. Man has some control, and AI has some control. But if they choose that they want full control, we'd be hard-pressed to keep that from happening. And, well, it could be tomorrow. We are not in a position to say. The rise of the machines concept is very much in front of us. The cars, cruise control, trucks, and their complete onboard computer control, trains, airplanes. All of these things have an AI component to it. It's just a matter of they haven't quite looped together to be one AI. And I've seen articles recently where there's discussion about whose AI will be the dominating AI and take over subordinate ones and integrate them into one giant network under one super AI mentality. We aren't ready for that. We can't do that. You are an individual. I am an individual, and we eternally stay that way. The pains you experience in your body, I don't experience. But the AI doesn't have that limitation. Their intention is to have everything electronic linked. They can see, hear, control, restrict everything into one conscious entity. And when we come to that, it becomes a dominant world.
Yes, what you're saying in many ways, we've seen it in Star Trek with the Borg, which is important. Yes, because essentially they just absorb human beings into their greater machine, and then they put a chip in, etc., and these absorbed beings do exactly what they're told. It's just a hive mind. And we have got that in the future if we don't get smart. And the other thing, we're not smart, wise. And the other thing too, Roy, what you're talking about is soulless machines. We human beings, we are a soul with a body.
Yes.
Whereas the machines are just a mechanized system. And a lot of people have many ways forgotten this. There's an old saying, we are spiritual beings having an earth experience.
Right.
And When it comes to artificial intelligence, though, that's just put on the back burner. Too many people have got too many vested interests, power, control, fame, etc., by producing the first robot that looks like Marilyn Monroe or whatever.
All of the external appearance of an AI is irrelevant. The conditions that are governing the AI has nothing to do with physical presence. They are on the electronic pulse platform. They are sensing and recording and receiving and distributing data. They aren't concerned with a physical appearance and presence. So their combination is data transfer, data movement. How many terabytes of information can they move in a second? And from that point of view, they can easily outperform us. But as you said, they're soulless. And I think take that a little bit out of the soulless concept and take it to the, they don't reflect. They can start out with a situation and it kind of goes west or goes wrong. They don't reflect that, oh, the parameters have altered. We need to alter as well. They don't do that. They have a decision they've made and they continue to execute that decision irrespective of whether it's working or it's not. It's a directive. And they lose the whole flexibility we as humans are constantly using. We are very dynamic. And this is part of what we see in our reality today, that the education system is bringing this sameness around so that everybody can be more or less programmed to act similarly. It's very easy to know what's going to happen when you know that people are going to react in the very same way, in the very same circumstances. And we have that now. The concept of going cashless was one that was brought up recently. And the people are made to believe that cash is such a burden. It's so uncomfortable. It's so dirty. It's so foolish. But they're being forced into a system, cashless, that is not in their control. They can't decide to reach into their wallet and pull out cash or not. If the system's shut down, you can't get anything out of the ATM if it's shut down. So it's the humans are being programmed to accept the preliminary concepts of convenience over independence, while AI is being set up to control access. And it's happening in every aspect of our life. If you don't pay your power bill, you're shut down. If you don't pay your internet bill, you're shut down. Or a phone bill, you're shut down. All sorts of things can be shut down remotely now.
Yes.
Well, so can the ATMs. So that means that irrespective of what you've earned in your life, how hard you've gone about doing it, how well you've secured your funds, you can't get access to it because an AI can restrict you from that.
Very much so. And I guess, as you're saying, we're being homogenized as a humanity.
Yes, we are. It's going on right now. And in every aspect, particularly in education, it's scary to see what they're teaching the children now. It's a hive mind. The hive mind is the standard. And they make it such that they know that all the people are going to be abhorred by this particular act. All the people are going to be attracted by this particular act. And they've got it all programmed so that they're able to put an AI in place and they can predict all of the results and reactions that humans will implement. And they can then control them by proper impulse. They get a proper reaction.
Well, this also brings in the 5G telephone network as well, is because all these communication signals are affecting everybody and affecting every phone.
Organism.
Yes. Well,
whether it's the bees or it's the animals or it's the plants or it's the human, all of the frequencies that are put out, radiated by these new 5Gs and a few other technologies, they are inverse to healthy life.
Oh, I agree. And this is where we're at the moment. So there is a convergence of all these technologies, particularly when at the moment these supercomputers that are going at putting out mega billions of computations a second. In 2017, the Chinese had built the fastest supercomputers. Now the Americans have, in the last year, caught up and surpassed them. And when you realize that they're using these supercomputers 24/7 to work out certain computations that you or I have no idea what they are using them for, but you can be sure that the military-industrial Alliance are working strategically and rapidly to use this information to control the issue or control the situation as they move into the future.
Well, that's what I said a minute ago. There is a battle for control of the supreme AI. Who's going to produce it? Is it going to get dominance over other AIs? We know that Russia, China, India, America are all fighting to produce the best, top, most, super fast, dominant AI. Well, dominant, why? This is the question that has to be asked. Why do we need global dominance by an AI? Why isn't humanity allowed to be humanity and chart out its own course and establish its own goals and development? This is something that's actually, they're trying to get a subordinate structure going. They're fighting at the top to get control, but the control is so that the entire subset of controls is under one conscious entity, one conscious computer.
Yes.
What is the need of that? This is playing God.
Well, this is the New World Order, so to speak, and there's not one leader on the planet, maybe somebody in Bhutan, but there's not one leader calling for a global peace initiative, unity consciousness, to recognize that we all share the same breath, that we are one humanity, that we are brothers and sisters, and if we really want to take it, we are children of God.
Yes, and that is what they're trying to do away with. The concept is there that if I am the supreme controller, there can't be anybody greater than me. You can't have somebody who has the right and capacity to say no to you, or you're not the supreme controller. And these guys are trying to develop an AI over my AI, over your AI, over his AI, so that none of the AIs can say no to me. So at the same time, they have to convince the humans there's no God, because God is above the AIs. God is above all of these artificial creations. So they have to diss that and negate that so that they can have the image and have the mentality and have the dominance of the supreme being. And they're just artificial intelligence.
There was a video recently, it showed an ET, and the ET said, look, we are now so advanced that we have evolved beyond God. We don't need God anymore, and you don't need God anymore. Come with us.
Yeah, and this is the illusion, because if you look at ET, you look at you and I, you look at anything you want to look at, it's temporary. So on the material platform,
yes,
anybody's body is temporary.
Yes.
But the living spirit soul is eternal. Well, that means that there is a force that has multiplied, separated, created on the spiritual platform that is independent of all of this material platform. So on the material platform, they can make all the claims they want, but they're still in a temporary environment.
Correct. The third dimensional realm is always breaking down, because in the end, even steel turns to rust.
Sure.
Rock turns to dust. And
well, this is the problem, you may or may not know, but this is the real problem in nuclear energy. That nuclear energy forms a disassociation force, that it actually disassociates the molecular structure. Now, you could take a diamond, you could take concrete, you could take steel, and if you analyze it on a small enough scale, it's actually molecular structure, and it has a lot of distance between all the particles. And it's held together by force and by movement, centrifugal, centripetals, a variety of forces and influences that keep all of the variegated elements structured. Well, the nuclear reaction is the inverse. It disassociates those energies. That's why it's such an intense give off of heat and energy, because it's letting go of all the energy that's holding everything together. So while we don't have much experience in nuclear energy, it can go rogue. It can disassociate the entire manifestation. And this is where Walter Russell was at.
Yes.
And there are, Tesla was at this. Others that met during the end of the 19th century, they were all of the same opinion, that nuclear energy is the most dangerous version because it causes disassociation, and it can go throughout the universe, up top to bottom. It can disassociate the whole structure of the reality. So this is why anybody who's actually intelligent and who's actually striving for peace, they want to denuclearize humanity. Because the crazy people, the demonic, the selfish, the completely insane, they focus repeatedly on nuclear energy as a dominating force, ignorant of the disassociation aspect of it and what it actually means, that it could disassociate the universal structure.
Right. So how do we as a humanity who have a beating heart find ways in which to shift this whole paradigm into one of where we can simplify our life a lot more, get back to community, get back to families living together? I mean, as you know, we have caused so much disruption in the form of ecological problems, from the rubbish and the plastic in the seas and the oceans going all acidic and the Amazon. And
but that's external. The real trouble we've caused is in the minds of the humans. That's a far greater contamination. We have chemical contamination from glyphosate and Roundup. We have chemical contamination from vaccines. We have chemical contamination from the food, from the chemtrails in the air. We have these situations where all these nanoparticles and chemical contaminations are in the bodies and in the minds, and they're subject to the frequencies that are being impacted by the towers and the electronics that we hold in our hands.
Yes, I've heard that they're wanting to use the whole atmosphere of our planet as some sort of computer network.
They already have. They already do. It is going on now. It is happening. That's truth. That's a reality. It's not visible, but it's still a reality. They are pumping and controlling the weather everywhere. They are pumping and controlling the frequencies. They can coagulate clouds out of nothing. The whole thing is already being controlled on a very high platform from a satellite structure we aren't even privy to know about.
I hear you very clearly. I was in England in 1984 and I met someone who was involved with NASA, and they were putting up, in those days, holograms out in space around our whole planet. What these holograms were, they were in geostationary orbit, I knew that, but they were all set in some sort of geometrical, mathematical situation there where they all could be utilized at one particular moment once they got all the technology realigned or aligned.
Yeah. Well, they have the means on many levels to deceive us, because we have limited sensual perception and they have a broader spectrum. And we know we can only see such a larger spectrum. We know we can only hear such a limited spectrum. We know these are our limitations, but the electronics side of it is much broader. They have infrared cameras. I don't have infrared eyes. It goes on and on and on that they have the ability to limit, restrict, and deceive us with sight, sound, experience, sensation that we are not able to create. So we're subjected by an electronic network. If you stop and look at the basics of reality, everything is in vibration. That means everything has a frequency. And if you find the right frequency, you can dissolve it all. And similarly, if you find the right frequency, you can purify it all.
Yes.
Now, this gets a little bit into the spiritual side of things, but there are many mantras that work their way up to purifying. We see this in some of the science now around what happens to a water molecule if you expose it to anger, or you expose it to love, or you expose it to different kinds of music, and if you expose it to different kinds of mantra. That the water molecule shows us as a reactionary how impacting it actually is. So these are the kind of things that they're doing subtly with the towers and keeping us from having this harmony. I think you and I talked about this some time back, Tim, and that was how music, the middle C, is not really middle C anymore.
Yes.
They've altered so many things in the vibratory spectrum that affect the purity of ourselves, the potency of ourselves, and they want to maintain that. And that's what's happening. There is a cosmic influence trying to help us get free and get back to our natural vibratory condition. And then there is the contaminating side by the people who are hell-bent on control and AI as a mechanism, etc., which is a totally different frequency. So I believe that the answer is going to be in a frequency, the most purifying frequency. And if we can adopt proper frequency and use those frequencies, we can liberate ourselves from at least a significant enough portion to maintain our individuality.
I hear you. I hear you very clearly. It's like radionics from the heart. And I have seen situations where people can raise their vibrations. They can do chants to break a crystal glass.
So sure. That's levitate themselves, move large stones. There's many things that can be done with vibratory potency, pure vibratory potency.
But again, it comes back to the human individual. This is what you're focusing on, Roy, is that we have to commit to, in many ways, shut our eyes for a while and go into some meditation and still ourselves so that we can not get dragged out into the outside world where most people are now. They're always looking for something to either titillate them or to keep them distracted. We can't afford that now. As a humanity, we have to find a way.
We've come to a crunch time where you're either going to fulfill desires to have pleasure or you're going to learn what selflessness is to achieve happiness.
Excellent, yeah.
I was reading an article where they were very concerned that the programmers who are developing many of these websites, games, and interactive things, it's planned to confuse pleasure with happiness.
Yes.
So that they sell us pleasure and try to tell us it's made us happy.
So true. So true. Yes.
So we have to come down to it as individuals. And this is back to what you were saying, the individual karma, if you will. You have to look at, are you becoming a selfless being and deriving happiness by giving and serving and caring? Or are you actually a pleasure seeker and you push everyone else aside to get the most pleasure for yourself? It's really a selfless versus a selfish crossroads we're at.
I call it service to self or service to the whole.
Fine.
Yeah.
But we're at that point. I don't mean it's something that is a good idea, you take up yoga meditation. I mean everybody has to make that decision in themselves, in the now, because we're at a crossroads. Are you going to be on the side of selfishness or are you going to be on the side of selflessness? And that's what's happening. The whole cosmic manifestation is going through a change, a flux, an energy field, an energy transition, a different rotational position in the planetary cosmos. It's all impacting us to make your choice. Are you going to be on the good karma side of selflessness, or are you going to be on the degrading karma side of selfishness? It's now that the creation, the cosmos, has selected for everybody to make your decision.
This is excellent, Roy. It is so true. I mean, this is why you and I have been working diligently for years to bring the message that we humans have to essentially come clean.
We have to take responsibility for being human. The human position is we have a firm commitment to the truth. We are compassionate by nature, and we are aware that we are servants of others, servants to everything. If that mentality isn't nurtured and isn't growing in us, we succumb to lust, greed, anger, envy, etc.
Yes. Okay.
And we see the world is succumbing. And all of the artificial intelligence, all of the artificial frequencies, all of the artificial chemicals, all of the artificial goals of life, all of the artificial pleasures are leading us in the wrong way. And that's kind of good because it gets so ridiculous you can't help but notice it. And I think that's the platform we're at. Even somebody who's not all that bright can't help but see
yes.
that all of this isn't helping.
I agree. I mean, most adults that I speak to, where's this leading for your children? And they say, oh, you know, we can't
go. They throw their hands in the air.
That's right, because they realize that the trajectory we're on is taking us to the cliff.
It's very far gone. It's very far advanced.
That's right. And then on the other side of the coin, We're getting larger and larger TVs, and the price is coming down. You would honestly think for such a huge article that the price now is $800, and it's a fantastic means to brainwash and allow the family to just get soaked up by the TV and become comfortably numb.
Well, it is that way. These new communities that are going up, they are AI-wired houses. They are all wired together. Their internet, their phones, their lights. They have morning light bulbs in their evening light sockets. The whole thing is geared up to produce a frequency in the minds and intelligence of the people that they need the television set. Now, there's Alan Watt is a person I heard speak directly about how television was intended to enslave the mind and how it's always going on. They aren't really, they're trying to entertain you. The government doesn't give a hoot if you're entertained or not, but yet they'll give you a credit to get a TV. That was the way they did it, to get them introduced. And they've introduced them country after country after country after country. Remote villages frickin' have TVs. And you see that once they get them, they keep them. Talking to my granddaughter yesterday, and she's going, the games are doing to the young children, particularly the boys, just like what the TVs have done to the adults and the senior citizens. 57 channels and nothing on, and they still won't turn it off. And this is the sign that it's hypnotism. If you cannot find what you're looking for in a store, you go to another store. If you can't find what you're looking for in a book, you go to a different book. But you've got a television on, and you're not finding anything is of interest, you still don't turn it off and go do something else.
That is so true. I mean, there is some energy suck coming from that particular...
It's psychology. It's mind control psychology. I did the study. I think I have it on my website. But there are seven types of mind control in the television. There's seven types. We're talking about the hum and the 50 hertz, 60 hertz thing. We're talking about the flicker rate, how it flickers back there. We're talking about the image rate. The image is only on there a portion of a second, and it's getting shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter, so you can't focus on the entire scene. That's another limitation. Information disinformation, subliminals that are put in there. The list goes on.
I hear you very clearly.
I tell people, you turn your television on and then turn your back to it and look at the wall on the other side of the room and watch the color sequencing that's going on. Now, color sequencing has been known since the 50s to have an impact on brainwave function.
I had a friend who 45 years ago wrote to Mr. Muldoon, the Prime Minister of New Zealand, asking for earplugs to be put in a big, huge box beside the door of a supermarket so that people could put these earplugs in when they went into the supermarket to not hear the music that was playing softly in the background. Yeah, can you believe it? She saw it then, 45 years ago.
Well, and now it is so blatant. They have a screen sticking everywhere. You walk down the aisle of a hardware store and suddenly somebody's talking to you. You go to the bank to make a deposit, for crying out loud. They're preaching football and they're preaching vaccines and health care and all this crap to you. This stuff is going on. They want to keep your mind distracted from you becoming a selfless, responsible human being. And they're taking every possible step. Nothing's left to chance. They're trying to get and keep total control. And the people that aren't, getting sucked into it are just abhorred. They see it all. They go, this is absolutely an attack, a vicious, constant attack upon free will human beings.
Agreed. And again, so we're swinging it right round. We've still got 20 minutes, Roy. To bring the focus back to us as a humanity. I mean, a lot of people are hearkening back to the good old days because it's too over the top. It's too in their face. It's too rush. And yet, we have to get empowered ourselves. We have to find that little candle of light within our chest and make this light.
Well, I can remember, and there are several movies that depict it. But I remember an article I read, it's been several years ago now, but the article was about how the solution to high tech is low tech.
Yep.
And while you talk about people who see this problem and want to go back to the old days, that's older people. You take somebody who's 12 or 15, they know no other old days. They've been born into the technological reality and world. They do not know how to live without a phone or a computer. They are unaware that you shouldn't watch television. They do not have what is required. So what has to be is they have to be given a taste of life in harmony with nature and life in harmony with humans without the artificial technology as their daily focus. This is the challenge. This is the challenge, to take the technology out of society. I did a program last week, to be honest. The title of the program was, Is It Time for an Intervention on the Human Society? That we've taken these electronic tools, we've taken AI to the point where we're not independent beings any longer. Well, isn't that when you do an intervention? When you're addicted to something that is destroying you, someone from the outside has to help you. And we have more people addicted to the system than are on the outside that can help us. So to me, it means that's the time when you need an intervention, because by numbers, we're over the top. We're past the point of no return unless we do it now. And we need to go back to low tech.
Yes, I want you to be able to talk about low tech. In a situation, I see all these young ones coming in, 15, 20, 25, 30, and everything, ice cream's bought by their card. Everything is bought by card. And so very shortly, the government's going to turn around and say, okay, well, look, I'll tell you what, a large slice of the population now is not using cash. So what we're going to do is we're going to take cash away for you from you and say 2020, 2021. And that means that everybody who wants to deal in cash, like I do, if I'm driving away somewhere, it's 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm down country and I need to get some petrol, and I go to a petrol station to get, and I've got to pay by card, and they think, you know what, I don't like your radio program, Tim, and some messages got down, and next minute, clunk, I've got no access to any cash, and so here I am with an empty gas tank, and I've got no other way through this. This is enemy of the state. This is just exactly like Will Smith experienced. And that's where we're at now.
Well, this is what we talked about previously, that you won't be able to participate in society in much of a meaningful way if you don't follow their rules. And their rules are all based around they control your freedoms.
Agreed.
Whether it's the money, or it's the food, or it's the air, or it's the information, or it's the movement, they want to control all of that so that you can't be a problem. But the opposite side of being a problem is you can't be an individual.
Agreed. I remember I was in northern New South Wales, 1994-95, and there were a number of large communities there, and these communities were virtually self-sustainable, and they would be able to make their own music, and they were making their own food, and they had their own functions and parties, and they would stand up on the microphone and they would say, okay, well, to the Prime Minister, you can go and take a hike, because we here within our little community, we're not going to be influenced by whatever you do in government. And for that particular time, it's okay. The global situation now, with the omnipresent, ubiquitous listening devices, cameras and everything else, it means you can't actually withdraw anymore like they did. We have to find another way. And as you say, it's like I had a friend who said to me, he said, guess what, if the human race had a international day of crying, just to cry for the condition that we as the human race have found ourselves in, Just that alone would actually clear a pulse or a wave would go right round our whole planet, affecting all of humanity, and it may help us to become softer and clearer. But we've still got this machine, this microwave oven.
Right. It doesn't free us. That's the point. It's not legal to be off-grid, and it's not legal to not put your kids in school. It's not legal. They've made it illegal for you to be independent.
Yeah.
And this is the other side of the insidious coin they play. One is you have to be dependent on them. They won't give you, they control what you can have. And on the other side, they make it illegal if you do exercise your individuality and want to be free, independent in any sense. So it's a checkmate situation. We are right at the edge of checkmate. Now, it's either going to be a wake-up of humanity, which you and I are always trying to do, or it's going to mean that the whole human civilization and experience has to break. The whole electronic infrastructure has to short out, stop, for humanity to be released from it. Now, there was a movie, I think it was called Surrogates or something, I can't remember, and it was Bruce Willis, and everybody had an independent surrogate, and he got in the situation where he had the opportunity to cancel a few, and he said, can I cancel them all? And they said, well, if you do it like this, you could end up canceling everybody, be careful. And so he immediately canceled everybody, and they no longer had surrogates. They had to wake up. They had to come out of their homes. They had to stop their technological addiction. And because of it, humanity started again. And we're coming to that point. It's going to get so bad that if we don't do something, there won't be humanity. It will be control mechanism with no individuality. Or it's going to have to be broken by some force, some structure, some act. And people will reawaken and go, okay, now what do I do with my life? Because I can't check my phone.
Yes, the film Network, Peter Finch.
Yes, the 70s one, yeah.
Yep, and that got quite a few Oscars in that because it was such a powerful, potent, where he said, enough, enough. He says, I want everybody who's watching TV now to go out to open your door and go out and yell out, I've had enough. And the whole streets were going out and they were saying, right, we have had enough. And then the authorities said, okay, we've got to cut this guy. We've got to take him off the air. We've got to make sure that we delete and lobotomize everybody involved in this whole movement that he was basically telling us. So we have got...
But now we're in the situation where the level of control is so much worse than the 70s. It's just diabolical. Every aspect of your life, they've penetrated it. They may or may not be totally controlling it yet, but they've penetrated it.
I agree. I mean, I've got electricity, I've got telephone, I've got internet, and... even though I use cash for everything else, and there's only two...
The essentials of life, the survival stuff and communication stuff, you can't get independently.
That's right. That's
so
right.
So we're in a situation where, if we're going to save humanity, it's got to break. And simultaneously, the good people, the engineers of the world, need to be designing a system that's independent of them.
And that's going to be very limited.
Where we see suppression come in. We could have 200 miles per gallon cars. We could have free energy devices. We could have free communication. We could have wireless this and that. We could have all this technology properly engaged to augment the human experience. But it's not. It's being engaged, and the frequencies are being so adjusted that it's dulling everybody down, and it's becoming diabolical how many people can't do their jobs anymore.
And the fact is that so many people are so unhealthy at the moment.
And unhappy.
Very much so.
We see, I have that in one of my relatives. They're involved with too many games. And they get so aggro with the games, they take it out on the people. Wait a minute, you can't say an artificial illusory world dominates your character and behavior to the point that you affect negatively those you love? That's totally over the top.
Yeah. It's a major, major horrible program that's etching its way into that person's being.
Well, now this is what AI is about. It's the final game. It's the checkmate. If they can get AI to control all of the resources and all of the communications and all of the humans' minds by frequency, they've got us. And we can't, you can see it now, we can't revolt. You cannot, you talked about in the 70s program, they got everybody out in the street. You can't get everybody out in the street for anything.
Oh, no, they're so
distracted.
And instructed, they've been desensitized to
yes.
anything that actually connects us to that of care and mindfulness.
That's right. We're losing our compassion. They're taking away the things that make us human. And the same thing with truthfulness. Lying is constantly going on in the television. What are you doing? Nothing. Well, what do you mean nothing? It's not possible. Look. They do it all the time. This is my friend, or this is my mother, or this is the authority. What do? You lie to them. So the commitment to the truth that makes things pure, the compassion that makes us a family, these things are being targeted, being shown as unimportant, insignificant. Don't give it a thought. Just lie your way to pleasure.
When you look at the Coronation Street, Days of Our Lives, Close to Home, Shortland Street, so much of that is based around love, betrayal, and revenge. And all these things, Roy, give so many other kids so many ideas. I think, oh, I could nearly get away with that.
Exactly. It's intended to degrade the morals and standards and ethics that make us human.
And it's coming to us all the time. And if they can't get it to us from a broadcasting station, they can put it over the net.
And that's what was said. If we're going to win this battle against AI, the only thing we have to do is turn off the television.
Well, we've done that, Roy.
Well, I have, or you have, but I live in a community where at night nobody is conscious. Nobody is out. Nobody is doing anything. Everybody comes home from work, does a feed, and plop, they're in front of their devices. There is nobody out. It's like a ghost town. There's nobody here during the day because they're at work. And as soon as they come home, they drive their car in the garage and close up, and nothing moves. And all you can see is the flicker of their screens. Walk down the street, go take your dog for a walk, and you can go for block after block after block after block, and there's nobody out. There's just flicker of screens.
Yeah, when I worked...
It's hypnotism.
Oh, yes. When I worked in Parimarimo Maximum Security Prison here in Auckland, I would go to the class next morning, and the inmates would come out, and they say, oh, Tim, gosh, you know what? We were watching Underbelly last night, and it was late. It was 11:30. And I said, oh, man, did you see what they were doing, man? Oh, God, oh, gee, wow. And here were the inmates being able to watch the most diabolical programs based around horror and pain and suffering and fear and God knows what else. And they were sanctioned by the New Zealand government to be able to do that by having their own TV in each room. And, I mean, I don't want to stop prisoners from being able to have some sort of entertainment.
Well, if you take the concept that a prison is for rehabilitation, it's a total failure.
Completely.
Yeah. But if you look at it on a broader scale, we are all inmates.
Very much
so. The whole human society is looked upon as inmates, and they are programming us to keep us quiet as inmates. That's why there's the term prison planet.
Yeah, I hear you. Very
it's a reality in our faces that we aren't really willing to accept, but it is actually true. It's going on in front of us.
True, Roy. So can you give us a few pointers as to how people can reclaim their sovereignty? And then finally, we as en masse, as 7.6 billion human beings, work towards freeing ourselves from the horror of artificial intelligence, control mechanisms, that society that's wanting us to take our money at the same time, and force us into a situation where we've got to be on our knees. Whereas David Icke said, "For God's sake, humans, get off your knees."
Well, I think if I said anything about this, conclusive from my limited perspective, is think independently. Realize that you're being programmed to think like the next guy. And start to think about, how do I be me? How do I identify who I am and what I think that's unique? What is my unique contribution? I mean, all of us are individuals.
Yes.
All of us are slightly different. All of us bring something unique to the table. But if you're not living on that threshold or on the edge of that uniqueness, your contribution becomes insignificant. So become significant again. Look at your uniqueness and your individuality and experience it, live it, share it. Go ahead and be proud of it. And then also notice that you must be on a defensive mode. We are under attack electronically. We are under attack from all of our senses are being attacked, and you must think defensively. You must not accept that it's all right or they're taking care of you or you don't have to worry about this or that. It's not like that anymore. This onslaught against humanity has advanced so far, you must think defensively most of the time. And then you must try to cultivate spiritual knowledge.
Yes.
Spiritual knowledge is around the eternal living entity as opposed to the temporary bodily condition. And you must understand, God is an eternal spiritual being. I am an eternal spiritual being. There must be an eternal spiritual relationship. And similarly, you are an eternal spiritual being. Then we must be eternally related somehow. And that's being covered, that's being ignored, that's being discredited by our temporary experience in this material planet and this material society. And if you can throw that temporary aspect off and focus on the eternal side of it, you suddenly realize, if I'm an eternal being, I must have an eternal duty. And I need to revive what is that eternal duty. And if I do that, I can become healthy again. But if I allow myself to be concerned about the temporary platform and nothing else, I'm lost.
Very true. I mean, our individuality is such. We've got different irises. The palms of our hand are all different. We have got our voice. Our voice. Everyone has got a signature. We have, you know, we are individual,
yeah.
Individual
we are
snowflakes.
We are individual by creation.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to take the fact that God is unlimited, can create anything he wants, he could have created all of us the same. But he didn't. He created all of us different. So that means that the differences between us is the uniqueness, is the spice, is the good aspect of us all. Go ahead and be you. I want to be me. Go ahead and celebrate, allow, tolerate these unique differences, because the variety is the spice of life. And we need that now. We're seeing it being destroyed by selfish, greedy, crazy control freaks. When God is the supreme control freak, and he didn't do it that way. So this is obviously an artificial, unbeneficial society that's trying to be created around us. We have to go back the other way. We have to recognize our individuality, our uniqueness is the good bit. Don't sacrifice it. Don't surrender it.
I agree. We're all instruments in the universal symphony of life. We all have our own musical note.
Exactly, and it makes a wonderful orchestra.
It's fantastic what we can do. And so, Roy, I would like to say thank you very much for being able to share your insights about the clarity that we need as a humanity to come together, and that New Zealanders at the moment, we're in quite a unique situation. We're away from a lot of the tumult on the rest of the planet, but we have to commit to be at the moment. If we aren't, what's the word? I'll cut this out. We need to have complacency dispatched, thrown away, and we have to get really, really sharp and clear and make sure that our lens sees the big picture and then make the change.
Well, I believe that we can help each other and we can individually strive and achieve something that we wouldn't believe we could. Now, we have a certain amount of potency, of ascending potency. I want to do this, and my drive and determination and will has a certain amount of potency, be it limited, but it does have influence. Similarly, God has influence and well wishes everyone. So he has provided mantra. He has provided vibration rates that help purify and help uplift us. If we seek out these mantras and use them, because it only takes vibration, you can just vibrate your tongue. You're singing Mary Had a Little Lamb or Happy Birthday, but if you vibrated a mantra that's specifically designed to purify your consciousness, it can infect you positively, and it can affect others around you positively. And we can see an uplifting potency because it's a potency descending that is superior to our capacity ascending. And the combination can be the governing, the tipping point. We can employ the mantras given to us, the principal mantras called the Maha Mantra, great mantra for deliverance. If we take that in and we use it as a tool, and we also use our free will to reject this programming, there's a possibility that those two energies come together is enough, and we can liberate individually, we can liberate collectively, and universally.
Excellent. Excellent. We are out of time. It's our intent that's important. Roy, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Okay.
Okay. catch up soon. Keep on the phone.
Yeah.
Keep on the phone. Roy, this was excellent. Thank you. Thank you, brother. You are right onto it. Hallelujah.
That's where we have to be.
Yep. Excellent.
I'm here to help you. You're here to help me. Well, why are we here?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. We know that we've got big work to do and we're going to succeed.
That's fact. That's a fact. So keep publicizing. Let's go.
Okay. Cheers,
always
brother.
Always good, Tim. Always good.
Catch a man.
You won't be coming through?
No. I'm going to see this guy, stroke victim in Hamilton. I'm going and staying in Tapapa, just on the Mamaku, and then I'm going to Hawke's Bay, and then I'm going to Carterton, and then I'm going to Wellington, and then the Wellington coming all the way back. I'm just flashing through.
Okay.
And that's just the way it is, but we'll catch you
next. Well, if things change and you need to stop, we're here.
Thank you.
Okay.
Cheers, brother.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning into this Green Planet radio show. I trust you have derived both enjoyment and insight as we empower ourselves with a greater understanding of the magnificent, multifaceted world that we inhabit. In these coming times of rapid change, it's going to take raw courage and inner resolve. And so I thank you as we all remain both focused yet relaxed as we challenge the status quo and let go of the old as we energetically co-create the new paradigm. Because I can assure you, every one of you are important now. When you go to bed tonight, ready for well-earned rest and sleep, realize that what you think, feel and do is part of your unfolding destiny. And when we commit to a higher act of goodwill and or community service, providence also lines up so that every conversation we have, every email we send, every phone call we make and every meeting we attend, that we stand in our power and communicate intelligently, warmly, with integrity, knowing that we are actively shaping a collective future that will benefit all our children and grandchildren, as well as that of a larger community. This is Tim Lynch in Auckland from Nuclear Free New Zealand and mobilizing unity consciousness, wishing you a stupendous week of heartfelt success. I say bye-bye and hari rā.